The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound. Like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Yeah. Welcome to the BS Report. It's been about a week since we taped the last one. Took a little break. We'd been pumping out so many, people were complaining. All right, that's not true. I was just being lazy. But we are back. We sent out the bat signal today. Big news on Monday morning, West Coast time. Peyton Manning going to the Denver Broncos. So we rounded up a list of people, including Dave Jacoby from Grantland.com, Bill Barnwell from Grantland.com, and my buddy Gus, a diehard Broncos fan who fell head over heels for Tim Tebow last year. So we're going to get his take. But first, as always, our guy, our NFL BS Report guy from NFL Network and NFL.com. We caught him between TV appearances. Mike Lombardi, what's happening?
A little quiet day in the NFL. Nothing major going on here, Bill.
How surprised are you?
You know, in some sense I am. I think San Francisco felt like they were the wild card in this race. All weekend we'd heard Tennessee, especially after they worked him out, felt like they weren't the favorite. They were not comfortable with some things offensively. I think Peyton was a little uncomfortable, and I, the sense from the Tennessee people were, we're losing this battle. And so that left Denver standing alone, and I think Denver ultimately had the best of all the three situations. If somebody else, if the Houston Texans were to get involved, I think he would have gone there. But of the three, I think Denver proved out to be the one that best suits Peyton Manning what he wanted.
Okay, so why didn't Houston get involved?
Well, you know, that's always tough to understand teams. You know, that I think they had an affection for Matt Schaub. I think certainly they had some cap restraints. They tried to fix their cap because of the Mario Williams. They couldn't get him back. They've lost some offensive linemen. And I just think ultimately it was too difficult to go through the procedure to cash in Schaub. I mean, my idea was trade Schaub to Washington, give Washington Schaub, and then, you know, get an extra pick and then go get Peyton Manning. But I think it was a little too complicated or too messy. And oftentimes teams like to stay status quo, as you know.
Yeah. Well, what about trading Schaub to Miami? Would have been an interesting way to do it, too.
Well, assuming that Miami could pull a trade-off. Right now, what we're seeing out of Miami is just not a lot of nothing. I mean, it's interesting for a team that loves star power. They're not able to get much done. And, you know, Miami is the perfect example of confusing hope for a plan. I mean, they're hopeful to get these players, but they never have a plan to get them.
Right. Denver, do you feel like, I mean, how would you rank the reasons that he went there? It seems like the biggest reason is that they had the most cap space, because if he was going to a winning situation and the best possible place for him to win a Super Bowl, it should have been San Francisco, correct?
Right, but he's about comfort. He's a creature of habit, and he knows the AFC, and he's prepared against all those teams really well. He had been talking to a lot of head coaches, a couple head coaches in the NFL, a couple ex-head coaches as well, for advice. And from talking from my conversations and talking to some of them, he seemed to like the Denver setup in terms of offensively, the conference they played in. Plus, he was familiar with all the other teams that they played and the teams they were going to play. I think going out to the NFC West was a little bit difficult in terms of trying to learn about all these other teams, plus competing with Eli. I think that's why when you looked at it on the surface, and I've said this from the beginning, Miami had no chance, because Peyton was smart enough to realize that for me to get to the playoffs, I got to go through Belichick and the Jets, and I'd rather go through those to get to the Super Bowl, not have just to get to the playoffs. So I think that's what precluded Miami.
Well, and also you mentioned the Eli thing. I kept hearing that he didn't want to be in the NFC because he didn't want to have to worry about playing Eli in the playoffs every year. If he plays in the Super Bowl, so be it. But to go against him in the NFC playoffs 3 out of 4 years wasn't something he was too excited about. You believe that?
Yeah, I do. I think he's considered all those factors. And look, one thing, Bill, we know about this proceeding, no one really knows. Peyton was very closely guarded. He was not talking to many people outside of his circles. He had some advisors that were head coaches and still head coaches in the league that he bounced ideas off, but no one really knew what he was doing. And I think just it would be just a guess on why San Francisco. I think it was the best football situation. if he felt comfortable. But again, it was not something he did feel comfortable with, not because of the people in San Francisco, but just because he never played in the NFC and then his brother sitting there. Now, the Niners will tell you that they thought that was the biggest obstacle when they started out, but they also thought that that in their conversations with him, they were able to overcome it.
All right, so you switch Manning for Tebow on this Denver Broncos team that we just watched. That was a pretty good team. They weren't the same defensively after Von Miller hurt his wrist or his hand or whatever happened. They were decent defensively until the Patriots shredded them. Offensively, you know, they had to reconstruct everything around what Tebow could and couldn't do. How close is this team to a Super Bowl now?
Well, they're a different team now because, look, here's what's going to happen. They're going to get the lead quickly on people. They're not going to play in those slow down games where it's going to be 13-10 going in the fourth quarter or 17-14 or one score away. I think what you're going to see with Manning is a much, much more sophisticated passing game. They're going to build a lead, and then they have two predominant pass rushers, and their defense is going to be centered around being able to be much like the Colts once they get the lead to add to the lead. Now, I think what they have to do is go invest in some corners, go invest in some secondary people, but they'll know with Manning, if he's the Manning of 2007, 2008, they'll get a lead rather quickly. They'll be able to play from in front, and playing defense from in front is a lot different than playing from behind. So they set up defensively perfectly for them. They're not going to have to play or box in the middle of the ring anymore. They can jab and flow and get the lead, and I think that benefits them because they're set up to do that.
But he's not the Manning from 2007. He's the Manning who the last time we saw him was in a playoff game, and for the first time it really looked like he was afraid to get hit. And now he has four neck surgeries that we know about on his resume. He might even have had more than that. If you were running an NFL team, would you feel good about basically pushing all your chips into the table here for Peyton Manning?
I would be nervous. I really would be. I hadn't seen him throw, and I think the teams that saw him throw would have a better idea than I would. But, you know, you're always worried. But, look, you go into the season – of every season worried about if you lose your star player, what could happen to your franchise. And so you have to always prepare for that. And I think it's a risk that Denver felt worth taking because if they were going to ever move on from the Tim Tebow era, they're going to would have to do it with a substantial player. And I think this allowed them to move on. We all know, as much as they want to say they don't, we all know they didn't want to play football the way Tebow plays football.
Yeah.
So this allowed them to move and change their organization. And for that and for the benefits that they have, I think it was too much for them to overlook.
Where does Tebow go?
I think Jacksonville's the best landing spot because he's home there. And Jacksonville's got to be smart enough to realize that you have to make a football decision and a business decision. He can go down there. He can compete. He'll bring some toughness. And, you know, look, let's face it. Owners are in the business for selling tickets. They're in the business for selling jerseys. They're in the business for enhancing the franchise. And I think Jacksonville right now has no real star power. And I think if you bring him in there, you'll improve your toughness, and you let him compete. Nobody says you have to give him the job. Just let him go in there and compete and see what happens.
I thought they should have drafted him. I thought they should have traded for him. And now I really think they should trade him. I mean, if you're Jacksonville, what else can you do to be relevant?
Tebow's team,
that becomes your identity.
I know, and I said it on the podcast 2 years ago when Michael Vick was a free agent. That would have been the guy I'd gone after. Jacksonville needs somebody to create some sense of what excitement for their fan base. I mean, since Coughlin left, there hasn't been that excitement. There hasn't been that kind of mantra that they can cling to. And whether it's Tebow or not, I don't know. But I think the football people in the Jacksonville building will fight this to the bitter end because they don't want Tebow. But I think Tebow brings more to your team than just selling jerseys and selling tickets. I think he brings a sense of toughness that you could usually use and let him compete. That's what he does well.
Plus a guy who, what did he go, like 9-2? Nine and two basically down the stretch? 10-2? I don't even remember, but made the playoffs, won a playoff game. You know,
yeah, I mean,
it's not like
and
he's
Jacksonville's
a schmuck.
It would help their defense. They don't have receivers, so with Tebow fits perfectly. I mean, I know they just gave Laurent Robinson a $7 million, you know, it's a huge deal, but he does fit for what they want to do, and he'll bring some toughness, and he'll make people compete. I mean, if you're Blaine Gabbert, bring him. You know, now you're going to have to show us what you really have. I think the best thing you can do for your football team is to enhance the competition. You know, Chad Henne's a competitive guy. He's going to be there early every day. He's a gym rat. Tebow's going to be a gym rat. It'll make everybody better. Does it say you have to play him? No, but why not give it a shot?
Well, we're expecting a team to be rational after they just spent $32 million on Laurent Robinson, so... Tough question. Miami. what would stop Miami from entering here when they, you know, they, you remember that, that Miami-Denver game when all those fans showed up for Tebow? Like, wouldn't Tebow give them an identity that they don't have?
Well, I don't know. Tomorrow, this I'm told from some Miami people that they're going to be a protest in front of the Davie Complex down in Miami about what's going on this off season. And you know, somebody sent me a tweet saying,
wow,
hey, "Relax, relax. The off season isn't over yet." Well, I mean, you know, yeah, it is over, because who are you going to sign? If you know, are you going to sign Alex Smith to a huge deal? Alex Smith might look good for the Niners, but I don't know if he's going to look good for the Dolphins. So.
Yeah,
I don't know what the plan is. I do know what the plan is. And here, for Dolphin fans, you're not going to want to hear it, but here's the plan. They're going to rebuild their team. Jeff Ireland is in the last year of his contract. He wants to try to convince the owner he's going to rebuild the team. He'll get a contract extension, and once he does that, then he'll be able to rebuild the team. But if the expectations are too high to win right now, and they don't win, then he doesn't get his contract extension. So I think what's happened is the lower expectations hire a young head coach and convince everybody we're building the program up. And what happens is, while you're doing that, you're losing people and you're losing confidence around the league.
Yeah, but they, I mean, both of us noticed last year they were one of the most reliable teams down the stretch. They were in every game. You know, I didn't feel like they were that far away. They just basically gave away Brandon Marshall. And I know he had some off-field problems, but hey, he played well.
Well, they
for them
did that
last
because
year.
They thought they were going to get, they thought they had a chance at Peyton Manning. They cleared cap room. Now, they can say they didn't do that, but all along, they thought they were in the Peyton Manning thing. And I can promise you, from the beginning of the Peyton Manning thing, they were never in the Peyton Manning thing. And I've said it publicly on the air, and they were never in it. I don't care if he spent 6 hours with them. You know, they had to get Dan Marino just to return his phone call. That should tell you something enough. And I think, ultimately, their plan is not really able to understand. I mean, they've lost a couple defensive linemen. I just don't think they're really right where they want to be yet. I think they're trying to rebuild the franchise.
Mm. The Brandon Marshall. Hey, shades of Golden State and the Sting Charlie Bell thinking they were going to get DeAndre Jordan, and then they didn't, and now they can't use their amnesty on Andres Biedron. Same, little similar filing there, because now they're in a Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, well,
they gave him away.
You know, when you looked at Miami's team and I went through and did all the team needs for teams, you know, one of the team needs I had was another receiver. They needed Brian Hartline's a nice player. I don't know if he's a number two. And, you know, Marshall's inconsistencies, but they needed somebody to go along with Marshall. They've been trying to find someone along with Clyde Gates, who they drafted in the fourth round. They'd hoped he would be the guy, but the reality is they now they need two receivers.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to hope that Reggie Bush can have the same season. I think Matt Moore ends up being their starting quarterback. This Ryan Tannehill illusion that people think that they're involved with, I'm not sure is right, because Tannehill could go four, and Miami might not be able to get him.
And you and I both like Brian Hartline. I was kind of hoping the Patriots would sign him. We're going to call my dad at the end of this podcast. He doesn't know we're going to call him. He is like all kinds of fired up about Tim Tebow coming to New England. McDaniels obviously loves him. Belichick loves him. What are the odds of this on a scale of 1 to 10?
I would say a 2. I don't think it's relevant. I don't think he fits for what they want to do, you know. And I think they all love him as a person, but I think ultimately it would be, you know, unless it would be difficult to bring him in and change the whole structure. They have two good quarterbacks. They tendered Hoyer a second-round pick. They like Brian Hoyer. They think Ryan Mallett has a chance to become a good player. They're going to spend this offseason really working on that. And, you know, there's only so many reps you can give players, and Tom Brady's still playing well. So I think the Patriots, from this movement forward, I think it's another running back, whether they re-sign Ben Jarvis Green back or not, and then try to fix the defense, try to add more defensive components.
Hmm. So it's looking like Jacksonville for Tebow. What would they have to give up for him? What do you think?
I think
like a third rounder?
A late pick, I really do. I think Denver's in the mood to make Tebow happy, and I think that they're not going to do anything to hold this thing up. I don't think they're trying to. I think Denver will make it very accommodating for him, and I think the agent for Tim Tebow will work it out so that it is accommodating. So I think this will be easy on every end, assuming that Jacksonville. Now, Gene Smith, the general manager, has already gone out publicly and said he's not interested in Tebow, just like he went out and said he wasn't interested in Michael Vick. And, you know, he is the decision maker in Jacksonville, so we'll see how that plays out.
I'm really confused by this because, yeah, you're in the winning business, but as you said, you're also in the business. And you bring Tim Tebow in, that puts you in the A block of PTI. That puts you in the national consciousness no matter what you do. And I can think of 8 teams off the top of my head that are completely irrelevant. and would become relevant the moment that they threw Tim Tebow out there. And if you're not going to win a Super Bowl, I don't understand why that's not the play.
Well, and he's just, I mean, he adds toughness to your team. I mean, stop fighting that. He does do that, and he's a competitive kid. And if you're willing to take a risk on a player with bad character because you think he's a good enough player that he's going to help you, why wouldn't you take a risk on this and just hope he could develop? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But I'll harken back to, and I'm not comparing Tim Tebow to Steve Young, but when we traded for Steve Young in San Francisco, there was only one person who wanted to make the deal, regardless of what anybody says today in revisionist history, and that was Coach Wall. So sometimes somebody in the organization just has to take the bull by the horn and make these decisions, and even though it doesn't make everybody happy.
Yeah, it does seem like we learned last year that you could build a certain type of team around Tim Tebow and have real success with it. And, you know, if the Broncos had been better defensively, maybe that, and not gone against that Patriot buzzsaw, maybe their experience would have gone differently.
Well, look, I mean, all Jacksonville wants to do is run the football effectively. I mean, they really don't have receivers. He fits what they do. They want to be a tough team. I mean, it really does make sense. Now, does it fit for Mike Mularkey? I don't think so. But, look, the guy took a team to the playoffs. I mean, he went in there and, you know, he won the games. He had. Was he perfect? By no means is he perfect. But does he have to work on throwing the football? Absolutely. But I think this whole notion that he's just going to destroy the franchise is wrong. I think that's really unfair to the kid. The kid has an appeal, whether, you know, and he's delivered. He won 8 games for him. They went and they won a playoff game. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in a game where I didn't think they could beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he threw the football to do it. So I think he certainly took some things where at least you take it into consideration.
You get a GM job. Do you roll the dice with Tim Tebow, yes or no?
If I were in Jacksonville, I would roll the dice with Tim Tebow, but I would have alternate planning too. I mean, I just wouldn't put all my chips in one basket. I think the key to success in any business is to give yourself outs, is to make sure you have the opportunity to know when it's not going to work and give yourself at least a back door. Don't put all your chips in one basket. So I would, but I would also know that he would make the team tougher and that the kind of team they have in Jacksonville, run-oriented team, good defensive front, does suit what he does well. And we need somebody to compete with Blaine Gabbert, because one thing we learned last year from Blaine Gabbert, whether they want to say it was an injury-related or not, Blaine Gabbert didn't show a lot of toughness. And when your quarterback's not tough, it makes your team not tough.
All right, you have to go to a TV. Over/under, number of playoff wins for Peyton Manning in Denver, I will say 2.5. You go over or under?
I'll go under.
Under? Wow!
Yeah. I'm just not sold that he's the 2007 Peyton.
Me neither.
And I think it's going to take a little bit of time, and I think football's a violent sport, and I think it's going to take a lot more time than all of us admit. We keep showing highlights of Peyton, who I think is one of the greatest players, and I want him to be the Peyton of 2007, I really do. But you have to be a little bit, at some point, you have to almost have somebody prove it to you.
I'd be very surprised if he got it back. I just keep thinking back to Marino the last couple of years when his body really started to get banged up and he was having so much trouble moving around. He just wasn't the same guy. He didn't have the same anything. And, that switch goes on a quarterback, and that's it. It doesn't come back.
Yeah, it's like Elton Brand. He's never been the same. So, it's just, you can see it. So, and certainly I'm not comparing Elton Brand to Peyton Manning.
Right. But no, I know what you mean.
I think you just, there's a step that you lose a player. Look at LaDainian Tomlinson. I thought when he left San Diego, even when he went to the Jets, I didn't think he had that step. And I think I was right, even though he didn't really dominate, he didn't do anything for the Jets that a cheaper running back probably couldn't have done. So it's always difficult, but look, he's going to work really hard. He's trying to come back, and let's hope he is back, and let's hope he doesn't get hit to where, he's got a left tackle on Ryan Clady, so let's hope he doesn't get hit to where he feels uncomfortable and he still can execute and play.
Well, and the last thing I'll say, and then we'll let you go, you do need a certain level of fearlessness when you play quarterback, because there's going to be moments when stuff's flying around you. You don't know whether this guy's coming or that guy's coming. And that's my biggest question for him, after the surgeries and all that stuff.
It will take time. We saw with Tom Brady, it took time from his knee.
2 years.
He wasn't as comfortable in the play. It took a year. So, and I think we should really lower our expectations for Peyton, at least in September and October of next year, to really realize that it's going to take him time to get used to the speed of the game. Give him a little benefit of the doubt.
And, the lingering lesson here is this is ultimately a really good thing. The Broncos are much more interesting. Tebow hopefully goes to Jacksonville. Suddenly, I'm really intrigued by that team.
You know who's the happiest of anybody? CBS Sports.
Oh, my God.
They get a 4 o'clock Western time zone team for the East that they can show. We will have Peyton Manning at every 4 o'clock window, you know, so that really helps CBS out by him doing that.
Mike Lombardi, we will. I guess you're just on NFL Network for the next, like, 72 hours straight.
I am the Jerry Lewis of NFL Network. I'm on the telethon.
Good luck. Thanks for hopping
on. Thanks, Bill. Bye-bye.
All right. Not everybody knows a Denver Broncos fan, but one of my best friends happens to be a Denver Broncos fan. He's been on the BS Report before, and now he's in the ESPN newsroom, and he's giddy. He's Gus Ramsey. How you feeling? The fake crowd noise. Wow.
I took a victory lap around the newsroom. People are shaking my hands like I've done something. I'm being congratulated. It's a glorious, glorious day.
That's always the best when your team does something and people congratulate you, even
right.
though you're not on the team. Yeah, those are the best ones.
Yeah.
Well, I have to ask, how's the Tim Tebow? I have to ask. I'm a little rattled.
Over.
I'm rattled. How's the Peyton Manning era for you?
Oh, it's great. It's great. I have no reservations whatsoever. This was a move that had to be done. I go back to the fact that I think because John Elway runs the team, that he was never comfortable looking at Tim Tebow as a quarterback, just because in Elway's mind, he has a vision of what an NFL quarterback is, and it's not Tim Tebow. You could hand me a mashed potato with 4 wheels on it and say it's a car. No, it'll drive, and I could watch it drive down the road, but it doesn't look like a car. I just think Elway can never get past the fact that Tebow doesn't look or play like a traditional quarterback, and he needed a guy that does, and he got one of the greats.
But how cool would it be to have a mashed potato car?
That would be awesome. You could fill it up
That'd
with gravy.
Really cool.
Gravy's
got to
be cheaper than
game.
Gravy's got to be cheaper than gasoline. So,
what do you think the Broncos? Just out of curiosity, what do you think the Broncos are going to do with the knife that they plunged into the Son of God's back? Just out of curiosity.
I think you do one of two things. You either clean it off and auction it. You know, maybe sell a whole line of them on QVC. Like the Ginsu knife, we'll call it the Bronco knife.
What about putting in an O.J. Simpson's golf bag? Could that work?
That would be fun.
And dumping it at Chicago Airport. I would recommend that plan, actually.
You could you could engrave it and give it to Skip Bayless, or just send it off with Timmy to the Dolphins. It's part of part of the trade.
What's your bigger concern right now, the 4 neck surgeries for Manning or the karma, from a karma standpoint, going against Tebow after all the goodwill and the good karma that he brought to the team last year?
There's no C in this equation. I'm not really worried about either. But I would be more concerned, and you know me, I'm a big karma guy. I would pick the neck surgeries. Just because my fear would be one hit would put an end to it all. And, you know, it could be the Peyton Manning era endeavor could last, you know, a quarter.
Right.
I think Denver will do everything they can to put Tebow in a place where he'll have a chance to compete and be a quarterback or at least be a player. So, look, this is big boy football. I think every player knows coming in it's a business. And one day you're going to be our favorite son, and the next day you're going to be somebody else's. It's just the nature of the beast.
It was kind of a brilliant move by the Broncos to go after Peyton. It was really the only out that they had to get out of this Tebow
right.
thing.
We said this 4 months ago, that Manning's the only guy who could come in, and Bronco fans would be like, Timmy, we love you, really. Everything you did, everything you do, you're a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
You beat the Steelers. You gave us a lifetime great moment in that playoff game. But it's Peyton Manning.
Yep.
I'm guessing, you know, based on polls I saw, like the Denver Post last week, you know, 70% of the fan base was okay with this move. So
70%? I would have thought it. So the reservation, if I was a Bronco fan, you know, the Tebow thing, whatever, the karma we joke about, but you can't make your moves based on that. But the 4 neck surgeries to me would be the big concern, because it's a position where you get tackled. And you get hit when you don't see it, and you take punishment, and he's 35 or he's going to be 36 at the start of the season? Somewhere in there. He's in the mid-30s. But I don't know. I just think that...
Manning's, you know, he doesn't get sacked. So that's part of it, is just Yeah, I was just reading a stat or research people put out. It was something like in 1,000 more dropbacks, Manning still got sacked fewer times than Tebow.
Really?
Yeah. So he just gets rid of the ball, and he'll be able to avoid a lot of those hits.
Who's he throwing to?
He's throwing to Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker, and if there's any money left over, maybe it'll be Mike Wallace.
Oh.
Yeah.
I hope it's not Mike Wallace.
Just
now you're getting crazy.
If there's money left over.
What about Reggie Wayne, his old buddy?
He re-upped with the Colts, 3-year deal.
Oh, somehow I missed that. Oh, that's too bad.
That was like late Friday, I think.
Oh.
So, and we drafted a pass-catching tight end last year who got hurt and missed a lot of the season. But, you know, they could still bring in Dallas Clark, speaking of injured.
Yeah.
So, look, the guy made stars out of Austin Colley, Anthony Gonzalez. You know, our receivers are now going to learn what being open in the NFL is. So all those times last year when they were open but didn't get the ball thrown to them, it's going to be there now. It's going to be there in their hands on stride more often than not. Those, you know, you can get a lot better when your quarterback's putting the ball where it's supposed to be.
Has there ever been a better wrinkle for the Broncos-Patriots rivalry? I mean,
no.
This is fantastic.
No.
Who knew?
And we play at New England next year, right?
It's kind of a secret rivalry. I think you and I and maybe five other people are the only people who feel like it's a rivalry, but I don't care.
Well, because they play every year.
Broncos are rival. Yeah.
Because they play every year, and historically, Denver's had the upper hand, even recently when you guys have been good. You know, obviously, last year notwithstanding. But their Broncos non-conference games this year are very interesting. Baltimore is a good one. Cincinnati's a good one. Atlanta's a good one. Carolina will be fun. They get Houston again, who he's 16-2 against lifetime, plus the Steelers, the Saints, the Bucks, and the Pats.
When is the Pats game? Do we know yet?
Don't know when that is, but I'm pretty sure it's in New England. So
I'm gonna wager that's gonna be a Monday night game.
You think that might be?
Well, money on that.
You gotta figure the first.
Or Sunday night.
Well, the first kickoff game is gonna be Giants whoever, right? So would you make? Think ESPN can get a Broncos Pats for that first Monday night game, or is that above our pay grade?
That's too ambitious. I would say it's gonna be a Sunday night November sweeps game. If I'm NBC, that's the first game I want. Broncos, Pats in New England, like November 5th, whatever that Sunday is, and just bang that one out. When did Manning's name first get floated out for the Broncos? Like 2 weeks ago? Something like that?
In terms of just not speculating on, hey, he's a free agent, when he'd be a good fit in Denver, like when the actual news?
Yeah.
A day or two after they released him, which was 2 weeks ago.
So at what point did you start thinking about this as a Bronco fan?
When he went to visit, and I started to think, that's about 10 days ago now, when he went for the visit, I went, all right, he's going to be hanging with John Elway.
Yeah.
You know, I always thought Elway was the chip that the other teams didn't have, that he was a guy Manning could relate to. John could tell him all the things that he would have wanted to hear at that point in his career. Imagine if Elway was in the exact same scenario and was going to be leaving Denver because Jake Plummer was great or whatever it was, that Elway would have been able to think of things to tell Manning that the Arizona brass couldn't. You know, like the Dolphins, I don't know, like if the Dolphins, if they ever would have tried to use Marino as someone in that same capacity. But I always thought Elway was the advantage for us. But then, literally 10 minutes before this story crossed that he had chosen the Broncos, I was reading tweets from a Broncos reporter saying that right now they're running third. So my hopes were not high. And then, boom, all of a sudden it happened.
That's funny because I haven't talked to you in a couple of days, but I was convinced he was going to Denver for two reasons. One was it just seemed like the Miami thing just didn't seem like they were pursuing other guys. It felt like they felt like they were out of it. But the other thing is, and we talked about this with Lombardi earlier, I really did believe there was something to the whole story that Peyton didn't want to be in the NFC because he didn't want to go against his brother in the playoffs.
Yeah, for whatever. I mean, it seems kind of like a silly reason, but
but
whatever.
It's not. You have a brother. Would you want to play your brother in the playoffs?
As opposed to playing him possibly in the Super Bowl, I think I would rather play him in a playoff game than in a Super Bowl game. But you know,
but you're more likely to do it in the playoffs.
Yes, that's true. When San Francisco emerged, that made me worried because I thought, oh man, I mean, even he knows that's the best fit on the board. But if that NFC stuff was a factor, then that's great. By the way, now if they do meet in the Super Bowl this year, it'll be in New Orleans. How cool would that be? Manning brothers Super Bowl in New Orleans. I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry.
That'd mean the Pats didn't make the Super Bowl.
I'm so well giddy right now. Can we talk about how much better my franchise mode in Madden just got? By the way, remember how I retired last year from Madden? Not anymore, baby. I'm back.
Oh, my God. You're like a boxer. Yeah, this is the best quarterback you've had in Madden since, what, 97 Elway?
Since Elway. But, look, I mean, what was Tebow's accuracy rating going to be coming off of a year he completed 48% of his passes?
But he would have had some sort of superhuman intangibles rating.
I mean, I play with him now, and you're bouncing passes all over the field. Now, I mean, it's franchise mode, so maybe I get 2 years out of Manning before he retires, but I'll take it.
Wasn't there an awesome Jake Plummer Madden year?
Yes.
I remember him having, like, in the mid-2000s, just scampering around like a maniac.
Yeah. He had a really good year. But, no, this will be – I'll be curious to see what kind of ratings he gets coming off a year off and the neck injuries, like, you know, what his stamina and injury ratings and all that will be. But I'm looking forward to trying it.
So why do you think that he did not pick the San Francisco 49ers? Because it seems like if he's all about winning Super Bowls, other than that brother thing.
Well, if you are thinking all about winning Super Bowls, isn't it easier to get there through the AFC than the NFC right now? The NFC is loaded.
Yeah, but the Niners had the best defense last year. They're in a
division that historically
hasn't been great. If
you're stacking Super Bowl favorites for next year and your top 10, 7 of them are going to be NFC teams, right? Or 6? It's a much tougher road.
Healthy Manning and San Fran, I just feel like that team's the favorite. I don't feel like Denver's the favorite.
No, I think we're a favorite in our division now because it's not a great division.
Yeah.
And if you can go 11-5 and win your division, you might get a bye. Or at least you're getting a home game.
I wonder if he was afraid of, like, isn't that stadium windy? Like, we have weird conditions if he was worried about his arm strength? Yeah.
I don't know. The whole outdoor thing to me seems overrated, too. I mean, he's a football player. He can throw a football. I don't think it really matters whether he's in the dome or playing outside. And the average temperature in Denver in the wintertime is like 60 degrees. People think it's Minnesota or something.
No, that's not.
And it's not. So I don't think it's that big of a deal.
You have the only.
There you go. Craig Bankston, one of our bosses here, just told me there are more days of sunshine in Denver than there are in San Diego in the calendar year, 325. How about that?
Well, the only game that would really be scary would be like a mid-December case at KC game in terms of AFC West. That's the only, like, super-duper cold-weather game, and that game
KC
might be in September.
With Matt Castle and Brady Quinn, I'll take my chances.
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah, maybe 15 degrees, it could be cold, something like that. Yeah, and then you have San Diego, which seems like they're kind of reconstructing that team a little bit. Seems like a team in transition.
The Raiders are $20 million over the cap and have no draft picks.
But other than that, they got a lot going for them.
Yeah.
And who's the other team?
I think the Chiefs are still kind of legit because they had so many injuries. They stuck so many key people last year. But I think going in, it's our division to win now.
I didn't love the way they've handled the offseason, though.
KC?
Yeah. Yeah. You're the heavy favorite. You need one more receiver, though. Hey, Eric Decker, I think almost became overrated because no Tebow pass was directly to him. So anytime he caught a Tebow pass, it seemed like an awesome catch. I don't know how good
he
is.
Yeah, and I was critical of him during the year for having the drop on the ball that most professional receivers catch. You know, it's a tough catch, but he would make the play. But again, I think Peyton Manning makes these guys better. So
underrated. How happy is John Fox? He was in Jake DeLome hell for years, and then he goes to Denver. He's got this Brady Quinn, Tim Tebow, you know, that whole thing going. Like, do you think he's just going to be smiling for 4 months watching passes go directly to receivers?
yes, they can actually run practices on time now and all that stuff. And remember, this is an offense that midway through last year said, all right, we're bagging all this, and we're going to put in this whole new offense for Tim Tebow. So, like, putting in the Peyton Manning offense is not going to be very difficult, which I think was part of the appeal for Manning. They probably said, look, come in, whatever you want to run, we'll run. We'll do it. Maybe their team said that too, but in Denver, between that and a really young, good offensive line, I think there were some pretty good selling points there.
Well, I'm happy for you.
Here, can I ask you, this is a tough question somebody asked me. I get the Peyton Manning jersey? I almost feel a little bit like it's cheating on John, but John's the one who brought him in.
Nah, you don't get the Peyton Manning
jersey. I'm leaning no, just because it's this weird too, right?
Also, there's a chance it could end up looking like the Montana Chiefs jersey and kind of be in that phylum of weird jerseys that we look back 10 years later and go, ooh, remember that when Manning played for the Broncos?
I was leaning no. I think I still am, but...
I feel like who's your best defensive guy?
Von
Miller. You're a
Von Miller
Dumervil
champ.
Von Miller's the safest bet. If you're buying a jersey, it's got to be somebody you know is going to be there for 10 years.
That's why I always get the retro ones, because John Elway won't ever be anything but a Bronco. So Champ Bailey's not a bad one either, because he'll probably retire as a Bronco.
Yeah, you're right. The throwback jersey is the best purchase because that guy's the era's already happened.
Yeah, he's not going to be traded now.
You're locked in. I remember I went to a Celtics-Knicks game like right before the trade deadline. I was going to get my daughter a Celtics jersey because she likes the Clippers a little too much right now. And I realized that I was afraid to get everybody's jersey because I didn't know if anyone was going to get traded. So I backed off. Yeah, that's why the throwback is always the way to go. Anyway, so you're thinking worst-case scenario is Marino the last couple years in Miami. Middle scenario is Montana with the Chiefs because they were good with him one year.
Yeah, they were. Yeah,
but far with the Vikings, maybe like about. They really came within a first down of making the Super Bowl. I would say that's kind of the upside, and then the upside is making the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I would still. You're better with the odds than me, but to make the Super Bowl to win the AFC, they're probably still like a. 12-1? Is that too high? 10-1?
Yeah, what usually happens is people overreact and bet the odds down.
Yeah, but don't look at it that way. Just on the face of it, what do you think they are?
I would say they are probably 12-1.
Yeah.
At this point. Maybe lower. Maybe in the 10-1, 12-1 range. That'd be actually a fun game to play with Cousin Sal. Yeah, but you're the favorite to win that division, I think, which is the first time that anyone other than San Diego has been favored in that division since God knows when. What, 2005?
And we're also going to shatter the record for fewest audibles called in one season to most audibles called the next.
Well, I do wonder if maybe that was part of the reason he didn't want to go to the Niners, because Harbaugh is such an offensive guy, and maybe Manning's like, ooh, I like this Broncos situation. I got a defensive coach. He'll leave me alone. The entire offense will be for me.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera. And just
kind of
that's
the old be-your-own boss. I'm sure Mike McCoy will come in and say, all right, Peyton, what do you want to do today?
Congratulations. Good luck in Madden.
Thank you. Great day for all Broncos fans.
We might have to go to that Manning-Brady game. I feel like we might have to be there in attendance. All right.
Sign me up.
See ya.
See ya.
All right, bringing in Bill Barnwell from Grantland.com. He is actually writing about this Tebow thing right now, and we're making him double dip. Normally I hate when people do this, but we'll try not to step too much on what you're writing for Grantland today. But how surprised are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
By the Manning news, I think. If this had happened out of nowhere, if it had happened before, we'd all heard all the news about the Broncos and Manning, I'd say it would be an 8 or a 9 because I didn't really see them going for a veteran quarterback. I kind of thought they'd be more interested in a young guy, maybe an RG3. But now, they were kind of the best option of the three teams left. You could see the Niners. You could see them having a better team and maybe making the case to go all in for 2012 and really try and win, in a 1 or 2 year window. But the Broncos have a ton of salary cap space. They're a young football team. They have a lot of weapons on either side of the ball, and I think Manning could make them significantly better really quickly.
So you think – I mean, to me, I feel like San Fran is they would have been the favorites if they had gotten Manning and if we knew he was healthy, because they had the best defense last year. So you don't think that was the best football option for him?
In a vacuum, yeah, but I think that the things they would have had to do to fit Manning in under their salary cap, especially over the next couple of years, as you know, some of their younger guys get contracts, it would have been extremely difficult, if not impossible. You know, again, in the terms of a Madden trade, if there's no salary cap, sure. You know, I think San Francisco's the better place for him. But the Broncos really have some options. They have, you know, a couple of young receivers who are pretty talented. They have a very good offensive line, which is obviously really important when you have Peyton Manning under center. And sure, the Niners defense is really good, but the Niners defense missed, I think, 7 games from injury last year. They're not going to be as good next year as they were this year, and they're going to be a good defense, but I don't know if they're going to be the kind of dominant unit that we saw in the playoffs last year.
All right, let's say you were running a team. Would you roll the dice with a guy who has 4 neck surgeries?
If the contract terms are right, sure. You know, you have to. Unless you have a guy at quarterback that you can sleep, you know, that you can sleep easy at night knowing he's your guy, you have to consider it. I mean, you just this league is about that. I'll play it simple. If you don't have that guy, you have to go out and try and find him. And the Broncos are going to offer Peyton Manning a lot of guaranteed money. I think he may get $55 million in guaranteed money just because Mario Williams just got 50. But they're going to have terms in there to offset a lot of that if Peyton Manning isn't healthy enough to play. So I think that in the long run, it's not going to be as big of a risk as it might seem.
So it'll be like $55 million guaranteed, but has to start like 30% of the snaps in a season, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, there'll be a lot of things like that in there. You know, obviously I'm not a contracts guy, so I can't say all that much. But I think that, you know, there will be offsets and things like that to account for if Manning can pass a physical, if he's actually physically healthy enough to play, not only now, but, you know, next year and the year after that. Because this could be a degenerative condition where, you know, maybe his arm is healthy after a year of rest and surgery, and you'll have the arm strength now to last 4 or 5 weeks. And then after a full season of hits and throws, maybe you won't have it again next year. So I think the Broncos have to think about that, you know, not only what happens right now, but then what happens over the next year or two.
You were very slow to come around this whole Tim Tebow thing. Very slow. By the end of, I think you picked the Broncos to – didn't we both pick the Broncos to beat the Steelers in round one?
We both picked the Broncos to beat the Steelers in round one. That is correct.
And I don't want to say you embrace Tebow mania, but I think even though you're a guy who likes things to be logical and make sense, you kind of embraced how random and crazy this whole thing was in a good way. Where do you see the next 5 years of his career going?
It's tricky. Tim Tebow, obviously – the stats aren't that great. You know, I don't need to be a stat whiz to tell you that, but the things Tim Tebow can do for an offense are more subtle than the average quarterback. Tim Tebow is a great short yardage running quarterback, which is an asset. He can improve the efficiency of your running game, and you can build a passing attack to take advantage of his strengths. He's not going to be that, you know, West Coast offense, 8-yard slant, 8-yard out guy. He doesn't have good timing on his throws, but he can get the ball downfield. And if you have receivers who can take advantage of that, you know, you're going to have at least a functional passing offense, if not necessarily a great one, that can, you know, really play off your rushing attack and maybe win you some football games. Now, if I have to think about where Tim Tebow is going to go, I think the obvious place is Jacksonville. He's certainly, you know, perceived to be a god there pretty much as far as, you know, his college history. And he comes from the Jacksonville area, so you have to lean there. Obviously, they have Blaine Gabbert at quarterback, but Blaine Gabbert is not exactly a franchise quarterback so far. So I just see him ending up there mainly because they don't really have any other options. If they get Tim Tebow, they take the tarp off their field or off their seats. They sell out. They have the best-selling jersey in football. And business-wise, even if Tim Tebow's not that good of a quarterback, it just makes sense for you to do it.
You know, it's interesting because Miami, the two teams that seem like the most likely suitors for him also need a quarterback and are both in Florida. And I'm not sure it really matters whether he's in Miami or Jacksonville because it's Florida. Like, you remember, what was that Dolphins game where they honored Tebow's team, and they ended up, they sold out, and like 30,000 fans there were Denver fans rooting for Tebow. Seems like that could work for Miami too, for just regenerating interest in the team, right?
Yeah, that would make sense. You know, that was the Dolphins Broncos game last year where the Dolphins were, you know, up 17-0 or so with 2 minutes left.
15-0, yeah.
15-0, and the Broncos came back and won. I don't know. You know, I wrote about this today on Grantland. I just think that people are sleeping on Matt Moore a little bit. I'm not saying that he's the guy. He's not a franchise quarterback. But what I didn't understand was how could the Dolphins be so obsessed with, you know, meeting with Alex Smith for 5 hours over the weekend and saying, okay, we're going to give you $10 million a year, $8 million a year to be our quarterback. Is Alex Smith really better than Matt Moore? I don't see it. So I think if the Dolphins couldn't go out and they couldn't get Peyton Manning, they couldn't get Robert Griffin, they couldn't even get Matt Flynn, I don't really see the value in upgrading a quarterback and paying a significant premium to do so when you have a guy who, with Matt Moore who is at worst competent, maybe even an average quarterback. I mean, he was, you know, he was 6-6 with a team that was 0-4 to start the season. He played reasonably well. He was up, you know, what, 17 points in the Patriots in Week 16? I mean, he played reasonably well for a quarterback. So unless you can get a significant upgrade on Matt Moore, I think you just stick with him for next year.
Bill Barnwell, I'm really happy that you said that because I basically had an argument with somebody, I won't mention, this weekend about the difference between Matt Moore and Alex Smith. And, you know, Alex Smith, yeah, he got some reps in the playoff game, the Saints game. He came through. So, you know, you can't say that about Matt Moore. I thought Matt Moore played pretty well the last 10 games. I thought the Dolphins in general played really well the last 10 games, and I'm not sure quarterback was the problem with that team.
Right. I agree 100%. And for what Alex Smith did against the Saints, which was a fantastic game, you have to remember that he was terrible against the Giants. I mean, you know, the Niners gave him like 16 possessions. They were dominant on defense. And Alex Smith didn't move the ball at all. I don't know if he even completed a pass to a wide receiver all game. He reminds me a lot of Matt Castle from 2010, where he had that fluky low interception rate, where he, you know, didn't turn the ball over. They played a hyper-conservative style. And even if you're going to play that conservative of an offense, you can't avoid turnovers that frequently. When you can't avoid turnovers that frequently, you're not really worth very much as a quarterback because you can't offer much more. So if you want to give Alex Smith $3 million and have him be your starting quarterback, I think that's fine. But if you're going to commit $30 million to him over 3 years, if you want to commit $36 million over 3 years, which is what he's reported to be wanting, I just can't see that. He's just, you know, he's no different than Matt Moore. He just happened to be in a better situation last year.
And you know, the other thing with Alex Smith that I'd be worried about, how much of an effect did Jim Harbaugh specifically have on his abilities last year? And if you remove Jim Harbaugh from the equation, what would be the ramifications? Because it's a little like a Mike D'Antoni offense thing where it's like, yeah, Sean Marion looks awesome in this offense. And then Sean Marion goes to another team. He goes to Miami. He goes to Toronto. And people are like, oh, yeah, Sean Marion. Not pretty limited offensive player. And I think with Alex Smith, it just – not only because Harbaugh built the offense around what he could do, but he also was like his just biggest supporter. Like the way he rehabbed that guy's confidence and self-worth basically was one of the best things I thought that any coach did last year. Now you're throwing him into Miami with a big contract as the quote-unquote savior. I'm not sure that's a great situation for him.
Oh, of course. You know, I think it's even worse than Sean Marion. I think you're being a little harsh on Sean Marion to compare.
Yeah, you're
to
probably right.
I'm thinking more like Boris Jaw.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, who Alex Smith might be in that situation. But absolutely that stuff matters. I mean, you know, Alex Smith went from being, you know, basically held up by Mike Singletary on the sidelines for slaughter to being the guy at San Francisco again and getting treated that way. The Niners, you know, I was a little surprised they came out and actually negotiated with Peyton Manning. I think they should have. But, you know, he's going to go back there next year, and it's going to be awkward. And if his interception rate does bounce up, like I think it's going to, if he starts playing a little worse, I think you're going to see more problems next year. So,
Hold on quickly.
But I also think that San Francisco might not be as great of a fit as it might seem right now.
Wait, do you really blame Alex Smith for that Giants game? I mean, look at the receivers that he had in that game. Who is he going to throw to other than Vernon Davis? Once they were like triple teaming Vernon Davis in the second half, where else was he going to go?
Michael Crabtree.
Come on.
What do you mean, come
Stop
on?
Stop it.
What, top 10 pick?
Stop
you can't
it.
Get open?
Please.
Come on, Bill.
Stop
I'm not saying that the
Alex They had the worst receivers in the league.
But, what?
You're ridiculous. They had the worst receivers in of any playoff team in that game. They even Denver's receivers were better.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm not saying that he had to throw for 300 yards. He just had to be competent. He just had to be, you know, middling to win that game because the defense gave him such good field position. And he
right.
couldn't even, you know, he didn't take up a single third down all game.
I'm not saying he was great. I'm just saying, like, it's a lot easier to throw to all the bad receivers that he had when you're going against that terrible Saints defense. But when you have that Giants defense coming at you with bad weather. Wasn't it bad weather? It was, like, semi-bad weather. It wasn't great weather.
I'm going to let you hang out on that one. I don't remember what the weather was like in that game. But you give a guy 16 possessions, he can't pick up a single third down until the final play of the fourth quarter. I'm going to say it's him. You know,
I don't remember. I don't remember Eli having a good game in that game.
It was good enough, from what I remember.
It's good enough. It's a punt kept hitting the Niners kick returner in the leg. Come on. So, do you think this is the first time, maybe in 7 years, that the Broncos have now become the favorite in the AFC West?
Remember last year, the Chargers were about Minus 300 to win that division and ended up losing.
Minus 350. I wagered on it, buddy. And I had them in a parlay. It killed me.
So I don't want to be too sure about it because I think it happened in the AFC West. And the Broncos were not an 8-8 team last year. By advanced metrics, they were, what, a 5.5 win team, I think?
Yeah.
So they have a lot of work to do. I still think they need to upgrade. They need to get a, you know, maybe another cornerback if they want to go out for Tracy Porter or somebody like that. They need not another wide receiver. They kind of need a pass-catching tight end. I could see them maybe going out for Dallas Clark, but they really need to add a couple more parts beyond Peyton Manning. But I wouldn't say a prohibitive, you know, 3-1 favorite like the Chargers were last year, but I think they are the favorites in the AFC West for sure.
What was your favorite? You've been writing about the free agent moves all week on Grantland, doing an over-the-top effort, by the way. I really appreciate it. What was your favorite move so far in this first week of free agency, other than the Manning thing?
You know, someone I was really harsh on, someone who I think was a little overvalued, was DeSean Jackson. And I think that the Eagles locked him up. They gave him, what, I think $15 million guaranteed on a five-year deal, which is just, you know, it really shows what you do when you're a good organization versus a bad organization. I mean, you have the Redskins giving Pierre Garçon, what, $21, $22 million. You have you know, the Jaguars giving Laurent Robinson $13 million in guaranteed money. So to get DeSean Jackson and give him basically that amount of money when he's clearly a superior player, it shows how good teams really value the money they have to spend and how they can wait and not sign guys when they're at their peak value and really value players properly. So that was a franchising, but I think getting him signed to a long-term deal was just they got him for a really good price.
Were you stunned that the Cowboys actually made a really good free agent move?
For Brandon Carr?
Yeah.
I like Brandon Carr a lot. I think he's the Jonathan Joseph to Cortland Finnegan's Nnamdi Asamoah this year. He's the younger guy. He's just as productive. He was the second banana with a great cornerback across from him. And maybe those guys have something to prove. Maybe they go into free agency and say, I'm going to get paid like a number one guy. Now I got to go show it. But I think it was the exact move the Cowboys need to make, for sure.
I was hoping the Patriots would get him because of his age. I think he's only 25. I like getting free agents who are still getting better and not guys that, you know, you see too often in free agency. I think Asamoah was the latest case of somebody you're getting about, you know, potentially 2 years after he hit that, like, highest point he's going to get to. And then you're just kind of hoping he can stay there.
I agree. But you know what? The Patriots will go out. They'll get young guys. It'll just be in October. It will be off other teams' practice squads, and they will just put them right in the starting lineup. That's what the Patriots did.
You know, I'm going to ask everybody who comes on this podcast this. You know, McDaniel's offensive coordinator for the Pats, Belichick, an unabashed Tebow lover. You don't think the Pats are getting the sweepstakes here, do you?
Unless they can get it for free and convince Tebow that he's going to play five snaps a game, I doubt it. The roster spots they need, you know, they have to sit a good wide receiver every week. They have to sit, you know, talented players at running back every week. So it's going to be hard for Tebow to get on the active roster if they sign him. He'd be interested, I'm sure. But I think the Patriots have bigger concerns. They have to figure out how to integrate Brandon Lloyd into their offense, which is I don't know how that's going to work necessarily.
Can he run a straight line and catch the ball?
He showed Conchata Tocinco, and you saw how well that went. So it may not work out that way. But I think he will be an upgrade on Tocinco. I just don't know if he's going to be, you know, Mike Wallace, for example.
Ocho Cinco was single covered during the last 20 minutes of Super Bowl 46, and the safety did not even look over in his direction, nor did Tom Brady. He had the whole left side of the field for the last two drives, and just at any point could have just run by his cornerback and been wide open. Brady never even looked at him. Like, at least you'll have to, the safety will have to glance over in Brandon Lloyd's direction. That's an upgrade, I feel like.
You know, he can always go out and get Michael Crabtree. I hear he's a pretty solid number one receiver.
Stop it. Are you stunned that nobody went after Mike Wallace? I mean, at least make the Steelers, like, sweat it out and have to pay him or match or whatever you need to do. But I don't understand. You did a nice thing when you broke down. You did these free agent books for us where you tried to write about the player like an agent would write about them. So you talked up all their good points. But within that was a really good point about Wallace's stats with Roethlisberger versus when Roethlisberger didn't play. And if you look at it that way, like, man, that guy's stats were as good as almost anybody in the leagues. Like, I don't understand why people didn't come flying after him.
Right. You know, I don't know whether it's the league kind of frowning on them, giving big money offers to restricted free agents. It kind of felt like that might have happened, which is collusion and is illegal, but still may have happened anyway. It just doesn't make any sense. If you're a team in the second half of the first round, especially if you're the Patriots where you have, you know, your pick is at the end of the first round, wouldn't you rather have Mike Wallace than whoever you're going to draft? And, you know, again, a
yes.
guy who's 25, who's going to be, you know, young, emerging into a not only a good player now, but a better player as he gets older. I just don't understand it. You know, they can afford it. They could fit him under the cap. They can give him $13 million or whatever during the first year. It just reeks to me of you know, something beyond the sheer economics and the sheer playing situation, because he'd be a significant upgrade for the Patriots. I mean, it just makes total sense. But for one reason or another, no one's even considered offering him a bid, which is very surprising to me.
Well, let's talk about this. Has there been a restricted free agent signed?
No. Not that I can think of. I mean, if there has been, it hasn't been a prominent one. And, I mean, there's very few. I mean, the last one that stands out to me as a really obvious one was Wes Welker.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Belichick, who doesn't care about rules.
That's so what I've heard. I can't fathom it. You know, I can't fathom that some team's going to go to the 29th pick of the first round and they're going to say, well, you know, we're so good at drafting that we're more comfortable drafting, you know, this random player who we're going to give a few million dollars to than bring in Mike Wallace to our veteran team that just made the playoffs and, you know, having him as a number one receiver for the next 5 years. I mean, what else? Are you really going to find a guy who's going to produce more than Mike Wallace has over the past couple of years? Or
no.
Who you can think is going to produce more than Mike Wallace over the next 3 or 4 years? I just don't see it.
Or somebody who seemed to be more wide open on longer passes than him. It would seem like twice a game he would be open.
I mean, there were so many times this year where I bet on the Steelers. I remember there was one Bengals game where Mike Wallace was open by like 5 yards and Ben Roethlisberger just missed him.
Yeah.
It depends. I don't think Mike Wallace going to Jacksonville, for example, and playing with Blaine Gabbert would be very useful. But if you're the Patriots and you have Tom Brady and you need a guy who can get open downfield, I just don't see it. I mean, would you rather have another cornerback who the Patriots are going to cut in 2 years?
Well, here's the thing. If they were redistributing that money and putting it somewhere else, then that would make sense. But, you know, they did it the usual Patriots way where they try to cut corners. They got Brandon Lloyd, who I like, on a really good contract, but I don't understand why they don't go for the kill sometimes with free agency. Like, for instance, I think they could have gotten Steve Smith before the Cam Newton pick, maybe for two number twos, something like that. Like, they never seem to want to go and get an elite guy. The only time they ever did it was the Moss Welker year, and that worked out. They came within one first down of winning the Super Bowl. I'm not sure why Belichick is so hesitant to go after these big guys. Like, I think Adelius Thomas was the only impact free agent that he's tried to sign in the last 6 years. Do I have that right?
Yeah. I think Adelius Thomas and Rosie Colvin are the two players. Otherwise, you know.
And they didn't work out, and that was it. But, you know, like, both of those signings, it was a little bit like the Asamoah thing where you caught those guys kind of after they had already peaked and you were hoping to keep them on that peak. I don't think that's a reason to stop signing marquee free agents.
Right. I think it's more about signing the right guy as opposed to signing just a big-name guy. And if you look at what the smart teams do, you look at what the Patriots do, look at what the Eagles do, they generally only go out and shop at the top of the market and the very bottom of the market. But the Patriots have kind of stopped shopping at the top of the market. So pretty much all they do is go out and try and find these Trevor Scott guys, you know, these really versatile but not really great at anything players, and plug them in and hope that they can play roles with the young draft picks the Patriots have. But it just seems like Mike Wallace made perfect sense. I don't understand it.
Well, I'm sure the Steelers fans are happy. Who's your favorite free agent that's still out there?
Beyond Payton? I like Curtis Lofton. I think, you know, middle linebackers are kind of their situation's really depressed. There's so many of them out there that none of them are getting bites. They might have to all take one-year offers, but I just think Curtis Lofton's an inspirational guy, a great run stopper, one of those guys that really made the Falcons better, who they chose to move on from. I just think that if the Eagles got Curtis Lofton, it would make so much sense for both players. I mean, the Eagles need a guy who can stop the run, who can make tackles, wrap up in the front seven. Lofton's a great 4-3 middle linebacker, but I think he wants more money than the Eagles are willing to pay for any linebacker. So it sucks for them, but he would be the perfect fit, and I think he would turn their defense into a really ferocious unit. So I think he's the top guy left out there for me after Manning signed.
All right, you need to go back to writing your thing. I already took too much of your time, but quickly. Predictions. Alex Smith to the...
to the Niners. There's no way that the Dolphins are going to take him away now that... now that Peyton Manning's off the table. They'll give Alex Smith, you know, whatever he wants for 3 years, probably $30 million. And the Dolphins will not have a significant shot at getting Alex Smith.
Tim Tebow to...
the Jaguars. Come on.
Tavares Jackson to...
is the UFL still running?
Stop it! Tavares had some good moments last year. I wagered on a couple of them.
He played a half of a game where the Seahawks beat the world champion New York Giants at home. But Tavares, unless, where's Brett Childress coaching now?
I like Tavares. I thought he played hurt for most of the year. I thought he was actually pretty good and gave them a chance to win. Him and Joe Webb are two guys that I think could have moments.
Joe Webb is another level of player above Tavares Jackson. Joe Webb is...
oh, you're saying he's a rich man's Tavares. Yeah.
Tavares is like the 40th best quarterback in football.
How do you get Joe Webb? Is he restricted? Like, Joe Webb is somebody I would be like coming after hard if I ran any team. Joe Webb is terrifying.
Joe Webb is like an awesome Madden quarterback. So
he's great.
He for sure. I mean, I think he's restricted. I think he's restricted next year. So he may have a couple years left, but I think he's better than Christian Ponder so far. You know, when I was watching the Vikings play and they brought in Joe Webb and I was betting against the Vikings, I was very upset.
Right. Yeah, I remember there was one Lions game he came into and just completely flipped it. The other guy that I think Lombardi always talks about, Brian Hoyer, and that's somebody that it seems like all these names getting floated. Like, why would you spend $35 million on Alex Smith when you could just get Brian Hoyer for $2 million? Like, if you're just thinking about it shrewdly. Like, if you're the Dolphins, you're not going to win the Super Bowl pretty much whatever you're doing if you're not getting Manning. So why not try to
Well, the important word there is shrewdly, and the NFL teams don't think shrewdly. They think in an incredibly panicked manner. They think about how they have this money burning a hole in their pocket and how they can spend it as quickly as possible, how they find one guy they want and they just want to spend out, you know, more than everyone else to get him. But if I was the Patriots, you know, I would go to those teams that were interested in Matt Flynn and I'd say, okay, here's the next Matt Flynn. You can pay $10 million for him in free agency, or you can give us a second-round pick for him right now and get him for, you know, $2 million for 1 year, like you said. You know, I don't think Brian Hoyer is a fantastic quarterback by any means, but I think teams are willing to risk those second, third-round picks to see if they can find a guy. So, absolutely, if I were the Patriots, that's exactly what I would do.
Bill Barnwell, go back to writing. Thanks for stopping by the BS Report.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, now we're bringing in the world's biggest Tebow fan, or one of the 500 million biggest Tebow fans, the czar of reality TV, Grantland's own Dave Jacoby. Czar, walk us through your emotions right now.
This is ridiculous. There's a few things that I feel. I mean, there's the emotional, and then there's the professional side of me, and it doesn't add up on either. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know what the Broncos are doing. When you have something like Tebow, when you have a human being like that, you don't let that human being go. You just don't.
What do you? What about the karma? I asked my buddy Gus, diehard Broncos fan, who did fake crowd noises on the podcast. He was so excited. I asked him, are you worried about the karmic ramifications of turning your back on Timothy Tebow? He did not seem to be that concerned. Should he be concerned?
I'm not only concerned for the Broncos franchise as far as the karmic implications of trading Tim Tebow and picking up Peyton Manning. I'm concerned about the city of Denver and the state of Colorado. There could be an earthquake. You know, there could be biblical plagues. We don't even know what the karmic implications are going to be, but they're not going to be good. They're not going to end with John Elway lifting the Vince Lombardi trophy over his head.
The Mayans didn't predict this, did they?
I haven't read into the Mayan stuff enough.
Professional football team will turn its back on the savior. Who will then have his wrath on the city?
Can I just read you something?
Yeah.
This is John Elway on Tim Tebow. He really added a great spark for us, and we really had some good things happen to us. I was really happy with his progress. I know Tim is going to work hard this off season, and we're hoping that he's going to be the guy for a long, long time. He said that a month ago.
A month ago,
Bill. You can't turn your back on Tim Tebow like this.
Kind of evil genius by them. This was their only way out of the Tebow thing. They obviously didn't like him that much.
I love him. How do you not like him that much? I mean, look at what he's done.
Listen, you're preaching the choir. But it's Peyton Manning. Now, the counter would be it's Peyton Manning after being operated on four times on his neck.
Well, did you see the reported deal that they spoke about?
Where was it?
It just says, I mean, this is something that they spoke about. 5 years, $95 million. But they don't say how much that's guaranteed or what what the implications are as far as roster bonuses.
Probably a whole bunch of performance bonuses.
Yeah, so, but 5 years of Peyton Manning is not happening. Do you know what is happening? 5 years of Tim Tebow. I don't understand why you would replace Tim Tebow with anybody.
Well, this leads me to my next question. I was very upset with you last season about the fact that you were a Patriots fan, but you basically dumped the Patriots for Tim Tebow. And it got to the point that I really worried about where your loyalties were when the Patriots and the Broncos played in that playoff game, which I did not watch with you, and I have a feeling you rooted for a team that was not the Patriots. I did not sit next to you at the Super Bowl because I just felt like Tebow had just corrupted you as a Patriot fan. Now, the door is open for Tim Tebow to actually come to the Patriots here. Bill Belichick has loved him forever. The Patriots could potentially position him as a backup QB / H-back / goal line guy. Like, if anyone was meant to use Tebow exactly the way he should be used in football games, it's Bill Belichick.
He would definitely be. He would be the starting safety on opening day.
He'd just be all like, yeah, that's true. He'd play nine different positions. I mean, maybe this was the destiny. Tebow tested your faith in the Patriots. Now he comes to the Patriots, and you love the Patriots more than ever.
Well, that's a hypothetical of road that's tough to go down. But I do want to discuss fandom with you for a second because you've got this like uber loyalty to your team. But I look at sports the other way. Is I just follow my heart. And when I'm watching that game, when I'm watching Tebow behind center in the National Football League, my heart's right there with him, right behind the center. Calling the cadence. That's where my heart is. So I don't care what team he's playing on the other side of the ball. I'm in on Tebow.
That's
where you and I differ. Okay. But if he went to the Patriots, I mean, just to see him in the red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
You know, it would just be everything. It would just be everything to me.
You follow your heart much like how Larry King. That was I think his rule for finding different wives. He just followed his heart.
Yeah,
I'm married? Well, my heart's not in that marriage anymore. It's over here with this hot 25-year-old secretary. I'm going to follow my heart over to her.
That's how it works. So where does Tebow end up? And who do they trade him for?
Well, look, here's the thing. If Jacksonville doesn't go after Tebow,
somebody
they're insane.
Right?
They're insane. I mean, you've turned from – It's the franchise everybody points to when they say, what's the worst franchise in the league? What's the franchise that's most likely to move? What franchise could you see going to Los Angeles or London? What franchise would you not want to own? And now all of a sudden you put Tebow there and you're printing money. You're just printing money. I mean, that should be the team that gets him. I can't imagine from what we saw from Blaine Gabbert last year that, you know, that's going to sway them against pursuing Tebow. Miami would be mildly interesting, but Miami actually seems like they might be a potential playoff contender. I'm not sure. You know, if I were them, I would go for Alex Smith. At least we know he's competent.
Yeah.
And then after that, I know, you know, then it's like you're looking at teams that might want to use him in a really smart way, and the leader of that pack would be the Patriots.
Well, here's a question. Let me throw this out to you. When I first heard this news, there's a lot of thoughts went through my head. I mean, first of all, is what the hell are you doing? That's Tim Tebow. And then I thought, well, perhaps they just want to bring Manning in to tutor Tebow for a couple years to make him a better pocket passer, to sort of like help guide him into the starting role as the Denver Broncos quarterback.
So you're saying keep Tebow? That's interesting.
I mean, yeah, I don't understand why these things are mutually exclusive. Why can't you keep Tebow? Especially
because
when your guy's neck's being held together with jumper cables.
Well, I guess you could. I mean, from their standpoint, maybe they'd be worried that there, you know, people would be clamoring for Tebow. But I can't imagine that would happen with Peyton Manning. I think
not with Peyton
the
Manning.
Most diehard Bronco.
It must be a salary thing. It must be something like that, because I don't understand why it's mutually exclusive to have both Tim Tebow and Peyton Manning wear the same uniform. It seems, it seems like a match made in heaven.
The other interesting thing with the Patriots is Josh McDaniels, who is the guy who drafted Tebow and traded for him and the whole thing, is now the Patriots offensive coordinator.
You will not draft this Patriots thing.
Well, listen, you have the guy who drafted him and traded for him and drafted him. You have Belichick, who is on the record with some of the most glowing quotes he's ever said about any Patriot or opposing player, who's loved Tebow forever, who tried to trade for him in the or wanted to draft him in whatever 2009, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it just feels like this could be a potential thing. Like Belichick gushed about him.
Where on the field doesn't he line up? He definitely plays a little bit of defense. He plays every skill position on offense.
Hey, Belichick could do the thing like, look, Tim, you're a quarterback. I believe that. I'm with you. I'm on your side. You're a quarterback. But we have one of the best quarterbacks already. We want to use you in these little spots, and you're a football player first and foremost. I'm going to put you all over the field. I'm going to have you at strong safety. You're going to be my H-back. I'm going to run weird trick plays for you.
There you are in the slot.
Yeah. We're just going to use you. You're just going to play. You're going to bang bodies. You're going to play. You're going to be my fullback in goal line situations. Yeah. I'm getting excited for Tebow.
Yeah,
I hope this happens. Plus, we have 40 draft picks.
I'm concerned. I'm really concerned about the people of Denver. As you know, last year I went there and I got to know them a little bit. And their faith in Tim Tebow was just blind. And I think I don't know if the people of Denver and the fans of the Broncos can just turn on a dime like your friend Gus. I'm really not sure.
Yeah, Gus.
Like, I think like Peyton Manning has a few bad games and things don't go right. I think there'll be some people saying, like, why do we have this old man playing quarterback for us when we had one of the most captivating sports personalities that ever happened?
I don't like when people get operated on when they play sports for a living, just in general. And it doesn't really matter the body part. But if you have an area of your body that's been operated on four times, it's just hard for me to believe that anybody would give this person a total clean bill of health.
I think that's like a fair point. Also, like, I think people like they underestimate the impact of operations. Like, they cut this dude open and, like, did stuff in his spine neck area a couple times and then put him back together. And they were like, okay, kid, get out there and play some football. That's not normal.
Yeah. Quickly, Walking Dead.
Yeah, really I haven't strong. Seen the finale yet.
Oh, okay.
Didn't watch it. Went to go see 21 Jump Street instead.
Challenge? Season finale coming up?
Yeah, Challenge has been rough this year. They really need to shake it up. They really, really need to shake it up.
Hey, we're available, by the way. We're available, MTV producers and Boone and Murray and everybody who does the show. Just bring us in. Take us to lunch. Just buy us lunch and we'll give you 9 ideas. We'll save your show in an hour.
I won't even order the lobster or something crazy like that. I'll just have a sensible soup, you know, maybe 2, and we can talk about the challenge and you'll leave with a better show.
We'll have the soup of the day. I'll get like some sort of salad that has chicken in it and like balsamic vinaigrette. And Jacoby will get a sandwich. It'll cost you $50 total.
I'll get the soup of the day to start and the special soup. And then like whatever they have on the menu for soup.
The bill will be $50. We'll give you 9 ideas. We will save the show. And I don't mean that in an arrogant or an overly confident way. We will save the show. We know how to save the show. We will save the show. Just call us. Just take us to lunch.
There's no one that spends more time about thinking about ways to make the challenge better than we do. And we just want to share that information 100% for free, just for lunch.
It's our 5th professional sport, and we're just not going to just sit idly by as it falls into the toilet, which it did this season, basically.
Yeah. And it's losing ground to paintball as far as professional sports right now.
I'm very upset. Jersey Shore is over, though, it seems like.
Yeah, I'm done with it. I don't even want to watch any of the spinoffs. I'm just done with all those people. Next.
All right. So MTV, this is a crucial time. They're much in the position that the Denver Broncos were in here. Where you have to make a decision to go all in and try to rebuild, you know, yourself as a contender right away with a really big move. That's where MTV
is.
Yes,
I feel like what they're doing is they're going the Peyton Manning route. They're just trotting out Pauly D for a spinoff right now, and they're afraid of what's new and exciting, the Tebow.
Oh, that's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, that's the way I see it. They're going with, oh, I know this guy works, and it'll be fine. We'll do okay. Instead of trying to harness the power that captured the nation that is Tim Tebow. I think if you control the zeitgeist like that, and you have that many people interested in you, like, you know, like my mom was fired up about Tim Tebow, and she's not a sports fan. Like, if you have that, I think you have to hold on to that. I think there's a currency, and the cultural currency of Tim Tebow is too valuable to just trade away to get, like, you know, some third receiver or something.
Tebow mania. What's today? It's end of March. So
it's the 19th.
Less than 3 months ago, it seemed inconceivable that Denver would move away from the Tim Tebow era. And I think you could have said the same for Linsanity in mid-February. And maybe that's something that could burn out with him going on another team as well. Although he's playing better the last couple games.
Linsanity, he's fine. He's going to be fine. That's not a concern. The Tim Tebow.
I'm just saying it'd be interesting. It'd be interesting if Tebow Mania and Linsanity both switched franchises within a couple months of each other. Plus, they have to pay Linsanity. The guy, and he's going to get a nice big free agent offer from somebody. I think he can.
Yeah, he's got real value.
Yeah. He's got real value. Anyway. All right. Czar, enjoy the challenge. Enjoy the what's the other finale coming up? Is there one more?
No, we just finished The Bachelor in Jersey Shore last week. So we've got challenging basketball.
We're a little crossroads here with reality.
Yeah, we're gonna add a couple. We got some things in the hopper.
It looks like we might have messed up with the Shaws of Sunset Strip or whatever that show is.
I didn't love it. Have you seen it?
Heard good things.
All right, well, check it out. See what you think.
Man, don't do the Peyton Manning thing where you just like the old stuff. You're not afraid to try
no,
the new stuff.
I've got my eyes on the new stuff.
All right, Czar. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy.
All right, last thing. As promised, we're going to call my dad. He does not know we're calling. He's very excited about this, the Tim Tebow possibilities, which, as Mike Lombardi said earlier, are probably not going to happen. But let's indulge him. We're going to call him quick.
Hello?
Dad.
Tim Tebow.
You're on the podcast.
I'm on the podcast right now?
Yeah.
Oh,
I know you're excited about Tim Tebow. I wanted the national audience to hear your excitement.
I'm very excited. I think that Jeb Hoyer, our backup, only has one more year, and we probably could get a draft pick from him from somebody else.
And you mean Brian Hoyer?
Tebow would bring in some excitement.
You called Brian Hoyer, Jeb Hoyer.
Well, whatever his name is. I don't get the names right.
You could. So you're saying trade Brian Hoyer. With the
really
draft
having
pick.
One more year anyway. Get a draft pick.
With the draft pick for Tim Tebow. That's your recommendation.
And whatever else we have to throw in there. I think that, can you imagine the excitement and also the opportunity for him to learn under Belichick and Tom Brady?
Do you see him?
He's going to make it that way.
Do you see him playing multiple positions for us?
I do. I see him. I mean, we've seen other teams come in here and do these crazy gadget plays where the halfback option plays. That would be a lot of fun. You know, Brady handing off to Tebow. He rolls out to the left side, passes down 40 yards to Brendan Lloyd for a touchdown. I can see it. I can visualize it right now.
All right. So you're firmly in the Tim Tebow coming to the Patriots game.
As long as he doesn't start, I certainly am.
All right. Dr. Bill Simmons, as always, a pleasure to have you on the BS Report.
All right. Take care.
Target the set off.
Whoa. Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.